This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Well, hello, everybody. And as always, if you are looking for a rundown of sports, you came to the right place. Sports on a Sunday morning here until 11:30. We'll get you some NFL for this cold Sunday here in St. Louis. The snow has stopped falling, but it's icy. And be careful out there. Make sure you scrape all that stuff off your windows so you can see where you're going. And it's good to be downtown after a nice few days off. I don't get those consecutive days off too often, but over Thanksgiving, it was very welcome. A lot of my colleagues were out working, man. There were some sports to be consumed, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Yesterday's college football Saturday was phenomenal. I mean, when you've got a fire in the fireplace and the Christmas tree being decorated, I got the Christmas tree from Drew's, Ted Drew's, and then the family decorates. That's the deal. I get the tree, we put it up, and then my wife and girls decorate it, and it's just a great, you know, cozy, warm Saturday watching college football. Did part of me want to be in Bloomington for the IU-Purdue game? Sure, I mean, it's a great party. I mean, that was a lot of fun. Did part of me want to be at Faurot Field for Brady Cook's last game? Absolutely. I love Faurot Field in Columbia, but it was nice to be toasty warm and watching college football. Wasn't that fun yesterday? What a crazy day, unless you're, of course, a fan of certain teams that we're going to talk about here that took it on the chin. And then, of course, you have NFL all day today, and we'll bring you NFL today at 11:30, Arizona at Minnesota. College basketball, we'll talk about that on the show. Hockey, it was a big night, huge game, biggest game the Blues have had at home so far, I would say. With Jim Montgomery's debut, and Chris Kerber, the voice of the Blues, will be with us. Josh Schertz, the Billikens coach, is going to be with us. Lutz Fahnensteel made some news with his new coach at City. He is going to be with us to talk about that at 11:15. Bernie Miklas is coming up in 7 minutes to discuss what I'm about to bring up here, and that is the college football playoff rankings when they come out on Tuesday. I have no idea what they're going to be. And usually I know. Usually I think I have a good feel for what the top 12 are going to be. I don't know. I have to trust the committee that they are going to review, first of all, my alma mater, which created whatever, all kinds of controversy. You know, they haven't played ranked teams or whatever. They lose to Ohio State. They crushed Purdue yesterday 66-0, and that should be enough to get them in. Ohio State, they're going to get in, but I think they're going to wonder where and how this all happened and where they're going to be. They'll probably be in the 8-9 game. They lose to Michigan 13-10, and just an ugly, ugly scene afterwards with pepper spray being utilized to get the players away from each other and, you know, multiple fights breaking out because Michigan put a flag in the middle of the field. Actually happened three times yesterday. I don't know where this flag day came from, but you've got Michigan doing it. NC State did it to North Carolina, and Florida did it to Florida State. What is it with all this? And then, you know, the big fight breaks out. I mean, come on. It should be a great rivalry game. All that extracurricular stuff, you know, save that for the game. I mean, if Ohio State maybe had that sort of energy, perhaps they win the game. Michigan wins the football game. I'm not saying that they're right either. But anyway, that aside, it is a stinging one for Ryan Day, because I don't think he's going to survive this unless they win the national championship. They lose the game 13-10. Michigan shuts them out in the second half, outgains them by 100 yards on the ground, and you're going to win that football game if you do those things. And they do it. It doesn't matter how bad Michigan's offense is. Doesn't matter. Their defense is great, and they were able to do a wonderful job on their offensive line as well. You know how many sacks Ohio State had yesterday? Zero. That is a remarkable performance by the Wolverines. They win it 13-10 over Ohio State. Miami, in a completely different game, loses at Syracuse 42-38. Kyle McCord, great quarterback. He went to Syracuse, felt the connection with the coach there, and he does a number and does Clemson a favor. By beating Miami, Clemson is now alive. They go to the ACC title game. They can't be an at-large, but they can get in and actually get a first-round bye if they beat SMU, which, by the way, they can do. So, you know, there's another example of, I have no clue what this college football playoff is going to be. It's all kinds of craziness. Arizona State will play Iowa State in the Big 12 title game. The Big 10 title game is now Oregon against Penn State. Penn State did its job pounding Maryland 44-7. So they get in. Indiana will sit there at 11-1 for weeks and try to figure out what is going to happen to them, while Penn State has a chance to win the Big Ten title and get a first-round bye. Tough, tough task, though, against Oregon. A lot of Penn State critics out there. Understood. Their biggest win is probably a narrow loss to Ohio State, which now gets knocked down a peg because Ohio State loses. So there's a big effect here up and down the board in the college football playoff rankings, which we'll talk about. Now, two teams that are not in the college football playoff but should be commended. One of them is Illinois. Illinois wins at Northwestern, really a neutral site, Wrigley Field in Chicago. But regardless, they win the game 38-28 over Northwestern. Luke Altmyer struggles throwing the ball, kind of like Brady Cook did for Mizzou. I'll get to that in a minute. But Altmyer and Illinois, they know how to win, and they run the ball effectively. This kid, Laughlin, gets a really nice run going here. He's a sophomore out of Gibson City, Illinois, which is just north of Champaign. And he does a wonderful job of running the football yesterday. He runs for three touchdowns, and they win the game, Illinois does, by a count of 38-28 over Northwestern. A sophomore, and Luke Altmyer at quarterback, and a terrific job by Illinois on the other end of things to run the football, run it effectively, and get the job done. Lawfer, I believe, is his name. I'm doing this by memory here. That Illinois wins the football game. I really like Brett Bielema and his foundation. That's, I think, really important for them right now, is that they concentrate on that. They are 9-3. Yeah, the loss to Minnesota is damaging. The loss to Oregon and Penn State should not be disparaged whatsoever. And the win over Purdue 50-49 certainly was shaky. But Illinois has had a very good year. It's Lawfrey, by the way. I just looked it up. 12 carries, 172 yards. I know you haven't heard of Aiden Lawfrey. The kid had a phenomenal day. Three touchdown runs, long of 64. Aiden Lawfrey. But the point is that Illinois is 9-3, should be very proud of that record. They're going to go to a good bowl, and they have a foundation for the future. Same thing with Missouri. And I know that Missouri had higher expectations, and we're all going to question some people will, whether Missouri is overhyped. Missouri's right, I think, where they should be. I would have liked to have seen them more competitive in the A&M and Alabama games, but tough games on the road. Very good performance at South Carolina in a loss against a hot team. And otherwise, what is their identity? Their identity is they find ways to win, even when they're not playing well, even when they have injuries. And Brady Cook is a winner and pulled it out yesterday with a touchdown run. And then he finds Luther Burden for the two-point conversion, fitting that those two finish it off. Final game at Faurot Field. Burden, one of the best players in the country, is going to be a huge star in the NFL. And Cook will go down as a St. Louis kid, along with Burden, who helped build what I think is a very solid foundation for Eli Drinkwitz. Drinkwitz's biggest achievement thus far is his recruiting in St. Louis. Those are St. Louis kids who made all of that happen. Now he has to continue to expand that and build the brand, but he's done a very nice job. 11-2 last year, 9-3 this year, 20-5 over the last 2 years with a bowl game coming for Mizzou. They win it 28-21 over Arkansas. They're 9-3. I went a little long on that, but we're going to get to Bernie Miklas and get his thoughts coming up next. It's 10:15. You're listening to Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX. I get to spend the next 10 minutes with my friend Bernie Miklas, and it is always great to spend time with you. Sorry for being a little bit late there. I went, you know, you used to do bits and you'd say stream of consciousness. That's what I did right there.
No, it was great. I was listening, and no problem, man. That gave me a couple extra minutes to make sure I'm fully prepared for some Mizzou talk. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. I am pumped about college football, as you can imagine. By the way, our visit with Bernie is sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard and air conditioning, heating and air conditioning dealer. You need that heating right now for sure. It's chilly out there. Bernie, that was fun yesterday. What a day of college football.
No, it really wasn't. And then starting Friday night with that Georgia Tech Georgia game, which was just insane, totally bananas. But I think this has been a great season. You know, the first year of the 12-team college football playoff. I mean, you look at how many teams even now can make a case. There's just a lot of subplots from coast to coast. The rivalry games were just as important as ever. There really has been no downside to it. And I think, you know, even though Mizzou's not going to be in contention for one of those 12 spots, they still had a really, really, really outstanding season in a lot of ways. And I heard you talking about Eli Drinkwitz and what he's building. And I think that's the takeaway. There's some disappointment that Mizzou didn't take in full advantage of a highly favorable schedule to maybe grab one of those 12 playoff spots. But the foundational aspect of this program is in great shape based on what they've done the last 2 years. And I've got a few things on that if you want me to get to them. But, yeah, I'm very fired up about the future of Mizzou football because I think this coach has put in a terrific foundation.
Yeah, let's go on that. And they finished the game with an announcement that they've started stadium renovations. You know, he's got money flowing in from all over the place, and he's the fundraiser. I mean, he went out. His athletic director left and took a job at Arizona. And here comes Laird Veach. What a great partner for Eli Drinkwitz. They're going to build a machine there.
No doubt about it. And here's I wanted to throw this out there, if you don't mind, because, again, a lot of times in life, you know, you can talk about a team having a really, really terrific season, you know, really positive. But you can also say a team had a disappointing aspect of that season. And both things can be true. And I just talked about that, how – yeah, it was set up for Mizzou to make the playoff. They didn't. However, the overall condition, the overall state of the program is outstanding. Let me throw a couple things at you, Tom. I think this needs to be emphasized. I'm talking about on a national level among power conference teams. Since the start of last year, Mizzou's got 20 wins. There's only 8 power conference teams that have more since the start of last season. Oregon, Georgia, Texas, Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Alabama. Then comes with 20 wins, Mizzou, Ole Miss, and Washington. So you're talking about a team that basically is tied for 9th in wins among power conference teams since the start of last year. The other thing, there's two other things. Like I went and looked at, okay, since the start of last season, who's got the best record in SEC conference games? Only Georgia and Alabama have a better record in SEC play than Mizzou. Mizzou's 11-5, as is Ole Miss and LSU. But the only teams with better records in conference action the last 2 years are Georgia and Alabama, and Mizzou's tied for third. This kind of stuff is unheard of in Columbia, basically. And also, let's talk about the home field. 7-0 this year at Faurot Field. They were one of only 10 power conference teams that went undefeated at home this year. And if you go back to last season, Mizzou's 13-1 at home, and that's one of the best in the nation among the power conference teams. Only three power conference teams have topped that 13-1 record over the last 2 years: Oregon, Georgia, and Washington. So Drinkwitz is doing some stuff on a national level that really has not been done in a long time. And I think that really needs to be stressed. I think it really needs to be underlined.
And on the other side of the river, the other state, Illinois, they've got themselves a team. I mean, Brett Bielema is doing what he did in Wisconsin. He is building a strong foundation and a team that is not to be pushed around. And while Northwestern is a weaker opponent, they did go up, took care of business, and for the most part, Bernie, they've done what they hoped to do, actually better. They're 9-3 also, with the loss to Minnesota and a narrow, win over Purdue where they gave up 40 points in the second half. That shouldn't have happened, but they won it. The loss to Oregon and Penn State, hey, this is a good season for Illinois.
There's no doubt about it, and I'm glad you mentioned the games that they lost. I mean, there's no shame in losing to Minnesota. They should have won the game, but it's no shame in losing it. And, you know, can you really hold it against them, some of the close calls and those other two losses? Those were honorable losses, if there's such a thing. And I think there is such a thing if you're looking at a big picture state of the program thing. So I think Bielema is exactly what athletic director Josh Whitman hoped he would be at Illinois. And he, too, has built a foundation. So I think whether you're on the other side of the river or this side of the river, you got to be happy about the state of your college football program, Mizzou or Illinois, to them.
All right, here's a question for you. Project for me, not the bracket necessarily. I want you to go all the way to January 20th. Who do you think are the top two teams in the country that should be in the national championship? I'll give you one. That's Oregon. I don't think anybody would argue. But I don't know who number two is. Who is going to be number two, do you think?
Wow, that's such a great question. Where do we start? I mean, you can make a case for a lot of teams, but a lot of teams are also kind of they've got an underlying flaw or two that makes you wonder. But I, as I go around and think about it, I don't know that. Let me think. You stumped me in a minute because you know how I'm usually I'm usually prepared for everything. I'm kind of stumped.
I'll give you some options. So Ohio State, who lost, but, they'll probably be in there in the 8-9 game. They're definitely tough to deal with. Georgia, who could get in there as the SEC champion and puff their chest out a little bit, which they like to do. Also, Texas, after beating A&M on the road, good solid win. They could win the SEC championship and get a bye. It's kind of where it runs out for me, honestly. I think those are the three giants that you have to pay attention. I'll give you one more because they've been the strongest team since they suffered the worst loss of all of them, and that's Notre Dame, who's made a nice little run here.
I would take – yeah, and thank you for helping me out with that to get my brain reset on it. Because I love college football, but sometimes there's so many teams and there's been so much chaos.
Brain still hurts after the 8 overtime game on Friday.
I know. I would cross Ohio. I personally would cross Ohio State off the list, and I could be wrong, but that loss yesterday was so devastating, absolutely devastating. I don't know that that team and that coach can regroup in time to go win it all. I just have serious questions about that. I tell you what, you mentioned Notre Dame, and I was a skeptic because after the upset loss to Northern Illinois, you just wonder, well, wait a minute, what's going on here? They have been absolutely dominant. I thought USC, for example, was going to give them a great game yesterday, may even steal a game because Notre Dame hadn't had a true road game in a long time. But the Fighting Irish have been as dominant as anybody since recovering from that one big slip. They've been as dominant as anybody. And then, If you look at how you look at Texas, first of all, Sarkisian got him to the National College Football Playoff last year. And you look at how he built that team. And that's why they won at Texas A&M. The Longhorns are massive and powerful and strong on both sides of the ball up front. There is a stoutness and a toughness to them. We talked about foundation a lot today. He has got the kind of foundation where you can stop the other team's run. You can run the ball yourself. You can win the physical game. And then let's face it. I mean, they have terrific running backs, and they also have not one but two really good quarterbacks. So I think Texas is very dangerous. And I think if Texas, especially if they bring the hammer and put it down on Georgia in the SEC championship game to avenge the earlier loss in the regular season, I would think Texas would be maybe the team to beat other than Oregon.
Those are all good picks. And you notice that I left out Indiana, and there's a reason for that. I mean, they have not proven that they can beat a ranked team yet, and they haven't, except for Ohio State, played a ranked team. But last night's 66-0 thrashing of Purdue, that was all 100% about showing off to the College Football Playoff Committee. All right, well, if you're going to criticize the schedule, then we'll just blister somebody to put a final stamp on it and then let you sit on that and see what happens. I think as an Indiana alum, I think we're just having fun. All the talk about us on December 1st never happened.
Yeah, incredible season, 11-1. And I'll come clean and confess to our audience yesterday. Listen, does my love for Tom Ackerman have something to do with this? Absolutely. Because I have lived vicariously with him in terms of following Indiana. I was so irate after last week's game, or the Ohio State game, where Indiana played a good half. It fell apart. They got beat. But you had Will Howard, the Ohio State quarterback, the guy who screwed up the game at Oregon, by the way. They had a chance to win, and he just had a meltdown. You had Will Howard taunting the head coach of the Indiana Hoosiers, and you had the other people on the sideline taunting Indiana. And I remember getting in touch with Tom Ackerman through text, and I said something to the effect of, man, watch out for karma. Watch out for karma. You're rubbing it in on Indiana when you really shouldn't do that. There's no purpose served by that. No one's saying Indiana was as good as Ohio State. So in other words, oh, good for you. You won a game you were supposed to win at home. Wow, let's have a parade. And they're taunting the Hoosiers after that. Well, I texted my friend Tom Ackerman yesterday after they just completely choked. I mean, they choked. You needed Heimlich maneuvers for all of them, especially the head coach. And I said, hey, karma is a you-know-what. Way to go, Will Howard. Great job. Yeah, I'm glad you really – taunting Indiana, how'd that work out for you? Why don't you get ready and why don't you beat Michigan? Then we would be somewhat impressed. So I'm being petty there, but I had to get that off my
chest. And Ryan Day scoring a touchdown late just to rub it in. Well,
right.
Karma's going to get you, pal, because now you may have just lost your job.
No, isn't it crazy that there's serious talk that he's going to be sacked? Yeah. I mean, he freezes up in big games. We know that. But he still is 66-6, I think, you know? It's kind of nuts, right?
It is, but you do come to Ohio State to beat Michigan, and he's now lost four straight.
The Los Angeles Dodgers of major college football, because nobody spends more money to recruit transfers than Ohio State. $20 million. in the transfer portal. And where did it get them, right?
Yeah, here they are, just trying to figure it out, licking their wounds. Berna, we went all football in this segment, but I loved every second of it. It's all people are talking about this morning, but we are going to get into some hockey with Chris Kerber a little later. Josh Schertz is next, and I appreciate you, pal. Thank you, as always, for being with us.
All right, my man. You have a great rest of your Sunday.
You too. Bernie Miklas, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. Josh Schertz, head coach of the Billikens, next.
He's got Anya back to Slope. 8 on the shot clock. Isaiah wants a screen. Gets it. Avila, 3. Bang! Robbie answers back. The big fella.
Yes.
That is Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. with the call on KMOX, a 93-90 win over UMass Lowell. And the Billikens are ready for Jackson State tomorrow night. I was just telling the guys off the air, I love talking to this guy, and that's the head coach of the Billikens, Josh Schertz. Always appreciate his time. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing good, Tom. How are you?
Doing great. I love talking ball with you no matter the circumstance, and you picked up a win over UMass Lowell. In fact, back-to-back wins against some East Coast teams, Quinnipiac and UMass Lowell, Monday and Wednesday. Let's get your initial thoughts before we start talking about where you are right now. Just going back to those two games, two different games, right? I mean, you've got Quinnipiac was tough, physical. You were able to outlast them and pull away from them with a nice run, and then a high-scoring affair where they were burying threes right and left. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I think, look, coming off the Wichita State game in Kansas City, we had two games back-to-back with teams in Quinnipiac, UMass Lowell that are, projected NCAA tournament teams out of their leagues. Quinnipiac, 24-win team last year, a lot of returning players from that team, really good basketball team. I thought we really was probably our most complete game of the year. We didn't shoot it great, but thought our defensive compete level was high, made a big run there late to kind of seal it away. First half was back and forth, and Swope hits a big three to put us up one, and going into halftime, and I thought, like I said, second half we kind of dug our heels in, made enough plays, and really kind of got enough stops to close that one out. And then, UMass Lowell, first half was, I thought we came out and we were really sharp offensively, and so were they. I didn't think our defense was great, and two things can be true. I thought UMass Lowell is a really good basketball team. I know people don't, know the name or whatever, but, that's a really quality basketball team. Again, 20-plus wins last year, really their whole team back, a freshman guard in Somerville who's high-level guard. So we knew it was going to be a tough test. And, second half, I thought we came out, defense was pretty poor. They cut it to five, and I really thought from there we knuckled down. I thought both ends of the floor, that was about as good as we played for a 6 or 7 minute period, and we got the lead to 21 with 12 minutes to play. And from there, combination of some really just, I thought, lost our edge defensively, lost our sense of urgency defensively, and then their shot making was unbelievable. I think they finished the game 8 for 8 from three on their last 8 attempts, and really could have been 10 for 10 except for the foot in the line and then the shot being a second late. So, with those, they were 10 for 10, and down the stretch of the second half, the two shots they missed the second half were wide open threes. So that said, a lot to learn, unpack from that game. I think that's twice now, LMU game and in this UMass Lowell game where we get a lead, you got to close out games with stops, and we've got to certainly make strides on that end of the floor. But credit UMass Lowell, their shot making down the stretch of that game was about as good as I've ever seen.
Yeah, they beat Quinnipiac, so you can see why. They've got some players, and they gave you all you could handle, but you win at 93-90. And in that game, you saw a lot of Avila and Swope working together like they did back in Terre Haute. Watching and being at the Quinnipiac game, and calling it, I was watching Avila very closely, obviously, and he felt like he didn't have a great game. But I notice not only Swope, but everybody's game, their level raised a little bit more. He makes everybody better. You can just see that coming, can't you?
Yeah, he's kind of getting back in the groove. I think Robbie's going to take, I'd be shocked if, another week or two, he doesn't look a lot better than he does now. And he's obviously, but you hit the nail on the head. I mean, his presence out there, that's the best thing you can say about any type of athlete is, he makes everybody around him better. And he really does. He simplifies the game for his teammates. He makes the game easier. He gives them a primary playmaker. His passing, his gravity, he takes the ball out. Isaiah, while his minutes have been high, the last two games, he's had to do a lot less in terms of playmaking because Robbie can take on that function, allows Isaiah to play off the ball more, opens up things for Gibson as well. So there's a variety of things from just his shooting, his passing, his understanding of the game, giving us a primary playmaker in the half court, a guy that can connect everybody else offensively. And so when you have that, it makes offense look a lot cleaner. So certainly thrilled to have him back. And And I think, like I said, I think the next week or two, are going to be big. We're in the middle of three practices right now. Those are really his first practices here in a couple months. So for him to get back in, get some practice under him, get some conditioning, get his rhythm back and our guys' rhythm back, I think you're going to see over the next week or two his game continue to expand. But he definitely does make every single guy around him on the offensive end of the floor significantly better, just his presence out there.
You have a nice mix of players. Gibson Jimerson, obviously, the three-point threat, and overall one of the really good players in the league. Of course, Kalu Anya looks like a rebounding machine and has done a lot of good things for you. High, high-effort guy. Kellen Thames, although he's been dealing with cramping, is kind of the straw that stirs the drink. He can do a lot of things for you up and down the floor. I'm curious, watching Indiana State, I meant to ask you this question before, who do you envision someone playing the Jason Kent role, who's now at Texas, just such a good cutter for you, especially on the baseline? Who is that person?
Well, I think we need guys to be able to do that. And I think you have a couple guys that could be that. I think Kellen's got good cutting instincts. He really does. He's got a little bit of a hybrid game, where he has a little bit of Julian Larry in him with a quick twitch and be able to get downhill and, drive the ball and put pressure on the rim. Then he's got pretty good cutting instincts. Another guy that we think could do that is Kalu Anya. Kalu's got to figure out the cutting piece and finding gaps in the shell. And that's not, moving and cutting without the ball is inherently unnatural to players. And so, Jason Kent last year was the best cutter in the country. I would say Jason Kent's first year at Indiana State, he was not a good cutter or an average cutter at best. I think it's the repetitions of understanding, where the gaps are in the shell, what the drives are, what the defense is doing. And then when you engage, without getting too technical, when you engage a low man in force rotation, where are those gaps in the shell and hunting them. And so we got to continue to work, and we are working with guys like Kalu, guys like Kellen. I think Kobe Johnson could be one. He sees the game pretty well where, those cuts become instinctive. And when they do, the highest value shot in basketball is no dribble layups. That's the shot we want every possession. And those cuts give us a chance to get those. And it's one of the four ways, cutting is one of the four ways that you can put pressure on the rim and you allows you to play with four. So we got to continue to grow in those areas. We have three or four guys that I think could do it. I don't know if anybody will do it as well as Jason did last year, but if we can get three or four guys doing it, that would certainly enhance our offense dramatically.
That really is a great answer, and I appreciate that. That satisfies my basketball junkie knowledge. I needed that one. All right, last fun one. Your first Thanksgiving in St. Louis, how was it? And I know that a lot of it is probably basketball related, but do you get some family time as well? You're a positive person. You enjoy all of life's experiences.
Yeah, no, we had a great time. Honestly, it was an awesome Thanksgiving. We had the team here because of we were off on Thanksgiving, but we practiced Friday, so we had Thanksgiving meal at Union Station. And courtesy of Steve and Bob O'Loughlin, and the whole team was there along with my family. So it was a really, we had unbelievable food, spent about 2 hours there. Whole team came over, ate, spent time together. It was a nice blend of, family and my team. And I'm really lucky with my wife, and, she does a great job of making sure I never have to choose. And so kids were there. And it was an awesome 2 hours. So, and then we came back and spent time as a family that night. And as you said, by Thursday night, we were turning the page to Jackson State, and I was full in film study, and everybody else was asleep. So it was perfect.
That's the coach right there, Josh Schertz, with us. Our visits with Josh Schertz are sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. Thank you so much for the visit. I will see you tomorrow night at Chaffetz Arena for a 7 o'clock start against Jackson State.
Can't wait, Tom. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow night. Always good catching up. I appreciate the time.
Always great talking to you. We'll have the game on KMOX. Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr. We'll come back with the voice of the St. Louis Blues, my old pal Chris Kerber. Can't wait to talk to him. Blues off to a good start under Jim Montgomery. That's next. Come back to the show. Tom Ackerman with you, and this is Chris Kerber, the voice of the St. Louis Blues, my old pal. How are you, Kerbs?
Tom, I'm good this morning. Just stringing lights on the Christmas tree before we get out of town for another 9-day road trip. How are you?
Oh, boy. Very good. I need to put the Christmas lights on the outside trees. I missed my chance. Now there's snow everywhere, so I might have to wait.
Listen, there's an absolute strategy to that. So once you get within 2 weeks of Thanksgiving, if you have a nice day outside, you have to go outside, take advantage of it. So I had the lights on the house 2 weeks early. Because I'm like, the number of times I've gotten back from a road trip or something, you figure there's a potential 3 days to do something, and then, bam, the weather hits. So I now have the Christmas strategy of within 2 weeks of Thanksgiving, if there's a really nice day, the outside lights go up.
Yeah,
they don't have to go on, but they got to go up.
It's a great strategy. My oldest daughter, Erica, reminded me, too. She's like, Dad, you got a nice day today. You got to get them up. And we just got behind on some things, and I went to bed, thought it'd be fine, and uh-oh. Now we're in some trouble. And I only hit like 4 pine trees.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's out in our front yard, but it is going to be a task ahead. Well, the road trip for you coming off this 3-2 overtime loss to the Flyers, I think there's still a very good feeling about this Blues team. Tell me what it's like behind the curtain. Are they thrilled with what they have in Jim Montgomery, and is it truly a more harmonious group right now?
Well, I think it's awfully early to put, you know, certain labels on it right now. What I'll tell you is I think you have to look at the season, Tom, in two sets. You had the first set with the team under Drew Bannister, and then you've got now the first three games under Jim Montgomery. They made the change when the team was just 4 points out of a playoff spot. You sit just 2 or 3 out right now after getting a point last night. The reality of it is for the St. Louis Blues is under Jim Montgomery, they picked up 5 out of 6 points. And the way I've looked at this season, in terms of that continued growth process, is if you want to make the playoffs, if you divide the season up into 8-10 game segments, you've got to be anywhere from 2 to 3 games over 500 every 10 games. All right. So, and that'll put you anywhere between 16 to 24 games over 500. Now, it may just take 10 to 12 to make the playoffs. You don't know that yet. But to secure a spot, you got to be there. Well, they were 500 in the first 10, they were 3 below in the second 10. And here they are at 3-1-1 after 5 games in the third 10. So you're making progress there. I think in terms of Jim Montgomery, you have to look at it from a management standpoint at the moment, Tom. And you go, they offered him a 5-year contract. It's been a while since we've seen that kind of deal for a coach. All right. So knowing that where they are as a franchise, knowing the kind of coach that Jim Montgomery is, knowing that he won a national championship in college, he got the Boston Bruins and the Dallas Stars to the second round of the playoffs. And every season that he's been a head coach for the full year, the team has made the playoffs in the National Hockey League. they really feel that they've got their guy to not only continue to develop players at this level, but they've got their guy to take the team to the next level when they're ready to go. And I think that's evident in that five-year contract.
And as for this year, as long as they have number 50 between the pipes, they have a chance. He is unbelievable. I mean, the saves he was making last night were incredible. Even the rebound that made it 2-1 by Forster, right before that, he makes a Dominic Hasek-like save to give them an opportunity. He is unreal, Curbs.
He is, listen, he's the best goaltender that the St. Louis Blues have had in the times that I've been doing the games. All right, and that takes you back to 2000. In terms of longevity, he's one of the longest. Obviously, that's how you get to 151 wins, which is really kind of a low franchise total, but it shows you how long it's been since the Blues have had a goaltender. I mean, you got to figure if they hadn't traded Mike Liut, that total would have risen dramatically. If they hadn't traded Curtis Joseph, right, it would have risen dramatically. There's a couple of those scenarios, but for Binnington to get it, he gives you a chance to win every single night. You know, and it could be a 4-3 game. It doesn't have to be. He doesn't need a 2.0 goals against average. He doesn't have to have the Marty Brodeur goals against average and save percentage with this team. All you know is if the game's tied or it's close going into that third period, he's going to make the saves to give you a chance to win. Now, they're getting the goaltending. And in some respects, I don't know if you say they're wasting it, but they're at times this team offensively has not been able to take advantage of the goaltending they're getting behind them. And that's something that'll be a continued work in progress for this coaching staff, because if they get that offense firing a little bit, man, with what Jordan Binnington is delivering, this team can rack up some points.
Blues currently tied for fifth in the Central with 24 points, tied with Utah. At the top, tied with Minnesota, is Winnipeg. They have 36 points along with Minnesota. And guess who the Blues play to start this road trip? They will go on the road to play Winnipeg on Tuesday. How good are the Jets?
The Jets are really good. And what's kind of frightening is when you start the season like at 12-1-1 like they did, you figure they're going to run away with it. And somehow, despite spending $16 million less than everybody else because of the cap situation in terms of their current roster, Minnesota has managed to play well enough to tie them. And then they picked up David Iracek in that process as well. So I'll tell you something, Tom. Winnipeg is really good. They're just a complete team, and they're getting great goaltending from Hellebuck. It's a difficult place for the Blues to go play. For whatever reason, they've struggled at times. Now, obviously, they were great in the 2019 playoffs there, but in the regular season, it's been a battle. So this is a really hard road trip. You're going from Winnipeg to Calgary to Edmonton to Vancouver. You're playing four really, really good teams. It's going to be a heck of a test for this club.
It is, and you'll be on it, and any road trip that Chris Kerber is on is a fun one, and I know that you'll have a good time out there. Hopefully the Blues can come back with four victories, easier said than done. But thanks for all that you do, and thank you for coming on with us this morning on KMOX. We always love having you.
Glad to do it, Tom. Happy holidays to everybody, and good luck getting your trees lit.
Yeah, same to you, and have a great trip. Chris Kerber, the voice of the Blues, will be back with more sports on a Sunday morning right after this.
Key block by the left guard, Tom Ackerman. And right here, let's go downstairs to Bonnie.
Marv, if you remember that big run Robert Holcomb had on the first drive, one of the guys responsible on help busting him loose was Tom Ackerman.
Tom Ackerman up front, and this is a unit that has played very well. A good night for Eddie George. 21 carries, 74 yards. The left guard, Tom Ackerman, with the block that set him free. It's a first down.
Yes, the great Tom Ackerman. Not me, but the Titans offensive lineman. He also played for the Saints, selected in the fifth round of the 1996 NFL draft out of Eastern Washington, out of Nooksack Valley High School in the state of Washington. Folks, it is great to be with you. It is NFL picks time. Lutz Fantasiel is coming up at 11:15. NFL action coming your way. Cardinals at Vikings at 11:30 with the pregame. Well, a lot of our games have already been played. We had three games on Thanksgiving Day. Detroit beat Chicago and got, well, Matt Eberflus got himself fired by letting the clock run out. They could have beaten the Lions, best team in the NFL. Dallas beat the Giants 27-20. No big surprise there. Green Bay over Miami 30-17. Packers look good. And then the Chiefs beat the Raiders 19-17. I mean, the Chiefs just find ways, don't they? They just get things to go their way. And the Raiders had a prime chance to get it done. And a center quarterback exchange, tough deal. That's football for you. That's sports. All right, let's get into it. These are our picks. Noon games today. Let's start with the game we have. Arizona at Minnesota. The Vikings are 3.5-point favorites at home against the Arizona Cardinals. Be careful here. Arizona is good. Don't be deceived by their last loss at Seattle, 16-6. This is a good defense. They beat the Bears 29-9. They beat the Jets 31-6. Then after their bye, they couldn't get their offense revived, and they lost at Seattle. All of that said, I'm going with the Vikings today, -3.5 at home against the Arizona Cardinals. I think this Vikings team, which has won 4 in a row, they've only lost 2 games. They have their eyes on the prize, a playoff spot, and they want to get into a very good position where they can host. And they've got to keep winning these home games. And they've got to keep winning all games, really. But they'll cover the 3.5 today against Arizona, I do believe. The other noon games today, Chargers at Atlanta. I was really high on this Chargers team. They dropped that last game to Baltimore, 30-23 at home. They had rattled off 4 in a row. I'm going to get back on it today. I'm back on the train. I've got them -1 at Atlanta today. I'm still not a huge believer in the Atlanta Falcons. They've lost consecutive games on the road. They come home. I don't know how much of a home field advantage they really have. Chargers -1. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. Oh, my goodness. The Bengals, I'm constantly reminding myself that I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. They've lost 7 games. They're playing at home against the Steelers, and they're a 3-point favorite. I'm going Steelers +3. I just can't do it anymore. I can't do it anymore with the Bengals. I mean, I don't care. Pittsburgh +3. They're 8-3. They are feeling it. Indianapolis at New England. The Colts have tried to figure out who they are. The Patriots will surprise every once in a while. Colts are 2.5-point favorites at New England. I am reluctantly going to take them -2.5 at New England. They are 4-2 against the spread on the road this year and 8-4 against the spread overall. Colts are not a bad football team, maybe not as bad as their 5-7 record, although as Bill Parcells told us often, you are what your record says you are. I still will take Colts -2.5. Tennessee at Washington. The Commanders have let me down here recently. Tennessee's +6. I don't think that's enough for me to take them. I think the Commanders win this one by a touchdown. I'm going to take them -6 and then hang on for dear life. Houston at Jacksonville. Boy, the Jaguars are not good. Houston -3 on the road at Jacksonville. That should be a warning, I guess, but I'm going to go Texans -3. On the road at Jacksonville. The afternoon games, 3:05, Rams at New Orleans. Saints +2.5. I'll take them there. +2.5 at home against the Rams. Tampa Bay at Carolina. Carolina getting 6.5 at home. I don't think that's enough, man. I'm going to go Bucks -6.5. And I know they've been banged up too. But I'll go Tampa Bay -6.5 at Carolina. Tampa Bay is 4-1 on the road against the spread this year. Pretty good road team. Philadelphia at Baltimore. The Ravens -3. This is a great football game where the Eagles are hot right now. Now, when I mean hot, I mean like white hot. They've won 7 in a row. It comes to an end today. The Ravens are going to win this game. Can they cover the 3? I'll say yes. Ravens -3 at home against the Eagles. What a great football game that is. San Francisco at Buffalo. 49ers are just a mess here. They're 5-6. They were an NFC favorite. Christian McCaffrey got hurt. He finally came back. Brock Purdy got hurt. San Francisco at Buffalo. Buffalo a 6.5-point favorite. Ooh, that is a slim margin for the stakes at hand. And for that reason, I'm going to go Buffalo minus 6.5. If it was 7.5, I'd probably go 49ers because I think it is a one-possession game today potentially. But I will take Buffalo tonight minus 6.5 at home against the 49ers. And then the Monday night game, Cleveland at Denver. Broncos are up and coming here. They are minus 6 at home against the Browns. And I will keep it going. I'm going to go Denver minus 6 at home against the Cleveland Browns. Coming up next, it's Lutz Fannenseel, sporting director for St. Louis City SC on KMOX. It is 11:15, and during soccer season, we talk things over with sporting director Lutz Fannenseel of St. Louis City SC, and we are going to do it today in his offseason as City is preparing already for February and the start of the season on Y98 FM. It's great to have Lutz with some big announcements this last week. How are you, Lutz?
No bad, Tom. How are you?
I'm great. Always good to talk to you. What are you up to these days?
Actually, I was in Bristol, Connecticut yesterday for the ESPN game, Dortmund against Bayern. Nearly got stuck in the snow, but I made it back safely.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad you're safe from Bristol back here. You're working, man. You are working. You're not only scanning the globe to try to build City, but you're broadcasting. You enjoy that side of it, Lutz, being behind the mic?
Actually, it helps me a lot to, number one, to get a different view on things. But number two, it's the best way of scouting as well, because you have so many different angles, you see so many different things. So it's always it's a bit different, but I did it since like 15 years or something. So it's something which also helps me a lot to calm down. Not yesterday, but when you got stuck. It's definitely, I enjoyed a lot, yeah.
Yeah, when you're enjoying something like that, there is really nothing like it. I know, however, your number one thing is enjoying watching St. Louis City SC grow and win. And you have decided, your organization has decided as well, that the best person for that is the former Swedish national team captain, Olof Mellberg, is St. Louis City SC's permanent head coach. Tell us about this decision and why you went about it.
You know, it was a long process, so we started that really in August to scan, like you said, to find the right guy, and there was obviously lots of names out there. It went from a huge process of how many coaches are available down to probably 30 guys, down to 10 guys, and in the end it was 6, and then it was like 3-4 finalists where we wanted to find the right guy with the right mentality, but also, most important for me, who understands our playing style. You know, the playing style still stays pretty much unnegotiable, but of course it's always a bit of a different approach. Every coach has slightly different demeanors about him, how he implements that style, but, Mellberg, I know him since many years, was an amazing player. He was a center back, very disciplined, very clear, very focused, very much about the detail, which is important for me. And that's why we decided to interview him, to have him in the final three. And I met him again. We discussed especially that details, what I just was talking about. And then we decided that Olaf is the man to take over in January and get us back on track.
He's been the coach at BP in right outside of Stockholm for the last.
I know exactly what you did. Now you tried not to say the name.
Don't they call it BP?
Well, I mean, the guys who can't say it, they call it BP.
Okay.
I'm struggling as well, but I'm trying.
Let me try. Brahma Poikarna.
Not too bad. Brahma Poikarna.
Brahma Poikarna.
I mean, let's call it a tie and call it BP.
But in those 4 years at Brahma Poikarna,
very good. Not sick. Well done.
Yeah, there we go. Now I'm locked in. He had developed a pretty good reputation to begin with, didn't he? But what did he do over those 4 years as coach to strengthen that reputation? What is his strength?
So his strength is, number one, he worked for a team, which is actually funny because BP, let's call it BP, is the biggest youth club in the world, 5,500 kids. It's a crazy number. They are, when it comes to academy football, some of the best in Europe. You know, they can beat the Chelsea's and the Arsenal's and the Bayern Munich's from this world in an under 14, 15, 16 level. But obviously, they're also focused on the first team. So he was used to integrating young players into the team. He was always used to working on a very small budget, and he always outperformed the budget. Now, if we are mean, we could say, well, his win record is not really great. But then, you know, I always would challenge everybody there. If you're coming into a league like the Swedish league, which is very organized, you have the smallest budget, and everybody thinks you're going down, and you have actually no chance to stay up. But you stay up quite comfortable, and you win enough games to stay in the league, then I think that's a better achievement than having the best team in the country and have a higher win percentage. So it's always the way you look at it here, Tom. And the way he plays football, the way he understands football, the way he also, I think his man management is really good, because he's a no-nonsense guy. I mean, he looks like a Viking, put him a helmet on, and he literally looks like a Viking. His way is very, very clear. And he's based on discipline. He's based on a clear structure. And I think this is what we really have to work on, especially defensively, having him as a former world-class international central defender, which really knows what he's talking about when it comes to defensive shape, was another really important part there. So there was lots of things for me where he was the standout candidate, and I'm really looking forward to work with him.
It does sound like he is someone who commands respect with his playing experience, coaching experience, etc. Lutz Fanischseal is with us now. I know that you respect John Hackworth, and so does the organization, to the point where you are actually going to retain John Hackworth as technical director. Tell me about how that transpired as well, and what is in store for John.
You know, that was never really a question, to be honest. I mean, to be fair, John did a good job, you know, and John wanted to stay the head coach, and I think he was, I can say that he was always a serious candidate, you know, even in the final process. We made a different decision, but John came to St. Louis originally in a role as director of coaching and then as a technical director. So he just goes back in that role where he was working before he took over in the summer. So it's nothing for me which is surprising. I mean, that was very clear. If he doesn't become the head coach, he will be the technical director. I think he's a brilliant technical director, and I'm really happy for the organization, but also for me personal to have John on my side. We worked very well together now for 3.5 years. John was always there when needed. John managed to get the team back on track after a really difficult summer. So I only can say thank you so much for that. But, you know, John's career or John's path in St. Louis is far from over. And I'm really happy and proud that he will be with me next year.
And then you made the announcement on Friday that you have signed German center back Timo Baumgartel to a contract. In fact, I believe that's through 26 with a club option. Yes, it is through a club option in 27. So tell me about the 28-year-old and what attracted you to him.
Yeah, that's a player I know since he's probably 15, 16 years old. You know, he was one of the youngest players who debuted for Stuttgart in the Bundesliga. Went to PSV Eindhoven, played there in the Champions League, and then came back to Germany. He had cancer like 2.5 years ago. You know, he recovered well and went to a club, Schalke in Germany, where things didn't work out for him. Timo played together with Teuchert, Hartl, and Löwen in the same, and Horn in the same under 21 national team. He actually was the captain in that team. And, you know, we did have issues last year when he came to the central defense with Joachim Nielsen being out, so many games injured, Hessler coming in. I think we got more and more stable towards the end of the season. But I think it was the need for having one more high-level center back in the squad. I looked at him already a long, long time because I knew he won't be interested to come into the MLS. And I think we got our man there. And if you sum it up, you know, having now, which I say, the defensive structure, we have the best goalkeeper in the country. So we just have to tighten up now defensively as well. Having now a coach which plays attacking football but have a good track record as a player when it came to defending, and adding another international defender here with a high level, I think I'm pretty positive that we can really work out that weakness from last season. I'm still not done. You know, I always tell you that, Tom. I'm still not done. There is still a few little things we need to adjust this coming transfer window. Nothing major, but definitely still a few little things to do.
No, I was going to ask you that, so you answered my last question. Nothing major, he says, but still a few little things to do. And by the way, you heard him right, that Baumgartel, teammates on the German under-21 youth national team with Hartl, Horn, Leuven, Teuchert, that certainly counts for something as well. Great to have you on the show, as always. It was great to see you a few weeks ago at the Energizer Park announcement, and I look forward to 2025. We'll have some fun together.
Same. If you don't talk anymore, Merry Christmas. And we probably speak before, so something will happen.
Yeah, there's something else. I have a feeling we're going to have you on again before then. But if not, Merry Christmas, and thank you so much for being with us.
Okay, Tom, thanks. Have a nice Sunday.
You too. Lutz Vandensteel, Sporting Director, St. Louis City SC. Always a pleasure to speak with him. Well, we're going to wrap up the show here and get you ready for Arizona at Minnesota. But before we do that, I just want to say thank you to everyone who donated and continues to donate to Guns N' Hoses. Guns N' Hoses is the event that we did on Fox 2 and on KFTK 97.1 FM Talk last Wednesday, the night before Thanksgiving, the tradition, the 37th annual. And boy, did they come out swinging. Some great fights between the police and the firefighters. The red team ended up winning that over the blue team. But it was an absolute blast. And it's all, of course, to benefit the Backstoppers. The families of fallen first responders retain not only those funds, but for life. For life. So they donate over $1 million a year to the Backstoppers out of that. You can continue to donate at stlgunsandhoses.com. They will take your donations all throughout the year. STL Guns, the letter N, hoses.com. If you go there right now, you can go ahead and make donations. They have raised, again, they're expected to raise over $1 million again out of that unbelievable event. Huge crowd, lots and lots of beer consumed. Not by me, I was calling it, but afterwards I might have had a couple pops. But what an incredible crowd. And it's just a great party. I would just put it on your calendar for next year. The night before Thanksgiving, you should go to it. Budweiser Guns N' Hoses, presented by Stiefel. Well, we are out of time. We appreciate you very much. We will get you ready for the NFL coming up here at 11:30. And we will catch you soon right here on KMOX.